Let's talk about five ways to boost your business in quarter two and beyond on this episode of the Good Enough Mompreneur Podcast. Welcome to the Good Enough Mompreneur Podcast, where we empower moms to grow their businesses while embracing imperfection. I'm your host, Angela Mashuli. I'm a fellow mompreneur here to guide you through today's episode on taking a proactive approach to your business growth in quarter two and beyond. As we dive into the second quarter of the year, it's the perfect time to reflect on our progress, reassess our strategies, and take meaningful actions to propel our businesses forward. In this episode, we're going to explore five actionable steps you can take to boost your business growth, from leveraging client referrals to seeking strategic partnerships and networking opportunities. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out, these strategies are designed to help you elevate your business and achieve your goals. So grab your favorite beverage, get cozy, and let's jump into today's episode. The first tip we're going to talk about today, before we even dive into the five ways that you can boost quarter two profits, is I hope that you're taking the time to think quarterly in your business instead of consistently kind of reacting or thinking monthly. Perhaps while you need to have monthly goals, it really helps to think about quarters and creating your content and creating your offers. So if you're new to thinking about quarters, I just wanted to go ahead and kind of give you an idea of what the four typical business quarters are throughout the year. So the first quarter is January through March. The second quarter is April through June. Third quarter is July to September. And fourth quarter is October to December. And so each quarter provides you an opportunity for assessment in your progress, to set new goals and adjust strategies. So I really think that I'm going to start kind of doing these business strategy and growth episodes at least quarterly. So let's dive in to tip number one. So creating an offer for client referrals. And this is so powerful because more than 80% of people trust a referral over traditional advertising. And I think I saw a statistic where 70% of people are more likely to make a business decision with somebody who was referred to them by somebody they trusted. So I'm going to leave an article in the show notes for each one of these points to kind of reinforce where I got these from. And I've seen this in my own business. When clients are super happy and I take care of them and they refer me clients that are similar to them. And I really love that for my favorite clients, and we all have them. So definitely be sure that you have some kind of client referral system, and I'm going to give you some tips to do that. But another benefit of the client referral is that you're not spending as much to obtain that client. It costs so much to obtain the clients that you have. So it's way less expensive to have a wonderful client refer you someone else. So let's talk about creating tips for creating a referral offer. Number one, you have to make it valuable. Ensure that your referral offer provides real value to both the referrer and the new customer. It could be a discount, a free trial, a gift, or some other incentive that motivates people to refer others to your business. So two, you want to keep it simple. Make your referral offer easy to understand and redeem. Avoid complicated terms and conditions that are going to be confusing and deter somebody from actually referring somebody to you. So number three, you have to promote it effectively. So spread the word about your referral offer through your website. Don't just put it out there once and then, you know, be upset that nobody came your way, but encourage existing customers to refer their friends and family by highlighting the benefits of your offer. So tip number four for your referral offer is to track and reward the referrals. Make sure you do the follow through, make sure you're tracking how effective it is, and ensure that referrers receive their rewards promptly. And consider offering additional incentives for multiple referrals or referrals that lead to significant business. So I do that for my referrals that have led to, you know, business in the tens of thousands of dollars. I've had that. And so I really go out of my way for somebody who refers me a business like that, and I really take care of them and go out of my way to take care of those who refer me great business. So make sure you're doing that. Okay, so action step number two for growing your business in quarter two and beyond is to identify potential partnership opportunities. So it is super important to identify other businesses that can help you kind of expand your network, expand the market, and it's so powerful to kind of lock arms essentially in the market with another business that is a good partner. So let's talk about four ways to identify other businesses that are good for a partnership. And studies show that partnerships just really create new opportunities. They fuel innovation. And, you know, with strong partnerships, you get strong results. So they can be highly successful, but you have to do it in a really intentional way to deliver the types of results that you're looking for. So I'm going to give you some tips for identifying businesses to partnership with. And, you know, I'll give you one example. 95% of Microsoft's commercial revenue comes through their partnership ecosystem. So it's just astounding what you can do when you put yourself out there and you really understand the power of partnerships. For Zoom, channel partners contribute to 40% of its business in Japan and over 70% of its business with the U.S. federal government in 2021. So I know I'm talking about some really large businesses there, but it does give you a sense of the power of partnerships. So let's talk about four ways that you can identify businesses that are good for a partnership. Number one, they offer complementary products or services. So look for businesses that complement yours. If you sell fitness apparel, partnering with a gym or a fitness trainer could be beneficial. Or maybe somewhere that sells health food, or I think you're kind of getting the idea. You know, it's not a business that's a direct competitor, but is complementary to your business. So tip number two is to have a similar target audience. But, you know, like I was saying, they're not a direct competitor. So this way you can cross promote to a relevant audience. Tip number three would be to make sure they have shared values or mission. So that aligns with yours. This can create a stronger connection and make the partnership more meaningful. So if you're selling a fitness apparel, you might not necessarily want to partner with a restaurant that sells, you know, fast food like burgers and fries. I think you can kind of see that, you know, they don't have the same target audience and they might not have the same values or mission for health and that kind of thing. So tip number four is look for complementary skills or resources and consider partnering with a business that has skills or resources that you lack. Where is it that maybe they could be better, that you could add a skill, or it's not something that you completely do, but you could complement their business? I had a recent podcast episode guest that was talking about she partnered as a writer with a business that did illustrations. So they could put their skills together to really create effective marketing with the, you know, the visual assets with the writing skills of her messaging and being able to critically think about how to frame a certain social media post or piece of content. So that's another way that you can partner with another business. So let's talk about action step number three, which I learned about this year at PodFest. Blew my mind. I had no idea this existed. It's totally free. If you don't know what a HARO is, you should know as a business owner. So HARO, H-A-R-O, stands for Help a Reporter Out, and it can benefit you in so many ways. It can get so much visibility on your business, and it can also be a way that you can position yourself as an industry expert with whatever business that you have. And so I'm going to leave some links in the show notes where you can sign up to see. There are various websites where reporters will post, I need an expert in family travel who plan trips to the Caribbean, and I need tips on five restaurants that families shouldn't miss or something like that, or the best beaches for families. So one, you know, they're going to be with a publication that's going to be referencing you and your business, and then they're going to publish that piece of content, and then, you know, you're going to be connected with that. So readers are going to see your business, and then you can also, like, maybe put it on your media page on your website. You can create content from being featured. And then also, in my experience, I had a reporter reach out to me with my travel business, and now I am her go-to person for this certain area of travel. So you can build a partnership with a reporter. There are also ways that if you, you know, this is separate from a HARO request, there are, you know, if there's a publication that you would like to be featured in that aligns with your business, let's say you're a parenting coach and you want to be featured in a highly rated national parenting magazine, find out if they would like articles on certain topics or something like that that you can provide to get more visibility on your business. So I highly recommend you do that. But building partnerships with the media in that way, you can be your own PR person. You don't have to hire a PR person to do this. But I will leave some links in the show notes below. This can be a highly effective way to bring more visibility, more interest, more profits to your business in quarter two and beyond. So action step number four is attending network events. So, you know, networking is so important. Business is really about connections and people. So I want to give you some tips on how you can identify some networking events, you know, in your area, either in person or online, for you to attend. I would recommend maybe at least attending a couple a month. I mean, I've had numerous podcast guests talk about how that's how they really built their business, is going to in-person events, you know, whether they were a virtual assistant or whether they had any type of service business. Going to in-person events, you know, highly beneficial. And then also, you know, whatever type of business you have, you know, identifying some professional conferences or trade shows can just really make a lot of difference in your business, making those connections. So tip number one on how to find networking events to attend. Use online directories. I'll leave links in the show notes. Eventbrite, that's one that a lot of people use. You may not have heard of it. Definitely check it out. There are virtual and in-person events advertised on Eventbrite. Meetup and LinkedIn. If you're not on LinkedIn, make sure you're creating that profile. I'm definitely leaning in more to LinkedIn. There's lots of reasons why. I could do a whole other episode on that. But I really love that I finally got over my issues with LinkedIn, and I'm leaning into that and creating more connections on that platform in 2024. Be sure that you connect with me at Mom Business Coach over on LinkedIn. I'd be happy to connect with you. So you can filter on topic, it's in location and region, and whether it's virtual or not. So that's the first tip for identifying networking events to attend. Tip number two is industry associations, or like a chamber of commerce. So check with your local industry associations and business networking groups. So they offer regular networking events that cater to businesses and special interests or geographic areas. You know, sometimes it's really hard to get people to come to these events, so I am sure they would love somebody new, somebody fresh, bringing their business to the group. So be sure to check out any local associations. Number three, social media or online groups, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's, again, LinkedIn. Look for groups or, you know, professionals, associations, or communities where you can promote and attend specific networking events. Make sure that they're worth your time. Just this last week, I had a podcast guest give a phenomenal alumni association presentation, and there was so much value. I'm sure she made so many connections. And so don't discount your alumni association if you have a college alumni association. So tip number five is professional conferences and trade shows. So they typically include a networking opportunity, networking sessions, cocktail receptions, industry-specific meetups, where you can connect with like-minded professionals. That's what, you know, even if it's something general, like for me, I go to a podcast event every year, and not only do I love meeting all of the various podcasters, but, you know, female and mom podcasts hosts are just really interesting to meet. So I love that. All right. So tip number five is to pitch to be a guest on a podcast to promote your business. And this is, can be really effective as somebody who receives hundreds of pitches a year, multiple ones a week. As I'm talking to you now, I only have 8 more slots for the entire year, and I am recording this in April, so I get a lot of pitches. There are those who do it highly effectively and those who really stumble and fumble. And some people hire a PR person or have their executive assistant do it, but you could absolutely do it on your own. But there is a really, intentional ways that you can do it to make it highly effective. And so I am interested in putting together a course on how you can effectively pitch yourself to become a podcast guest. And so if you would be interested in learning more about that, or if that is something that would interest you, send me a message, send me a comment, because I love promoting somebody who is in all stages of their business, from just starting to, I've had guests that are CEOs of multi-billion dollar businesses. But I think it's really important to empower all business owners. So that's something that I've really been thinking about. But you need to identify a few things before you pitch a podcast. I mean, podcasts are so powerful because you're creating intimacy and people are really engaged in a conversation and they have a very high rate of purchasing, those products that are businesses that are offered and services that are offered on a podcast, which they have a high affinity with. So you need to align yourself well with a podcast. You need to make sure the podcast is probably within the top 250 on either Apple or go to a website like feedspot.com, which will help you see the rankings. You need to make sure that they're publishing regularly. You don't want to have a podcast. Don't take the time of pitching and attending to the podcast and not know if your episode's ever going to air or be published. There's some people that don't even publish their podcast on like Apple or Spotify because they just have it kind of for their internal community. That's not necessarily something you're going to get the maximum value out of being a guest with. But also, there are just really great networking opportunities when it comes to being on a podcast as well. Whenever I talk to a guest who would like to be connected with somebody else that I think that they might be a great guest for or something like that, I always refer them, I always connect them. And, that person's always in my mind too. Like if I do an event or if I need a service myself, I always have those guests in my mind because we've created a connection because of our conversation. So being a podcast guest can be a really powerful way to grow your business. It is a long game. It may not be instant, but yes, you have to be purposeful and strategic about it. But being a podcast guest episode can be a powerful way to grow your business in quarter two and beyond. So I hope that you found this episode helpful. So the 5 action steps that you can take in quarter two to grow your business are: 1, create an offer for client referrals; 2, identify potential partnership opportunities with other businesses; 3, respond to a HERO request or build a relationship, be your own PR person; 4, attend networking events regularly; and 5, pitch yourself to be a guest on a podcast. So I hope those were helpful. Let me know if you have any questions. Let me know too if you found this episode helpful. I'm leaning in. I know I've really done a lot on confidence lately. But as you can tell, also you have to have the confidence to be able to implement these action steps. You have to have the confidence to believe in yourself that if you put your effort into these, you're going to see some return on your investment. So thank you so much. I encourage you to take action on at least one of these steps in quarter two. Let me know what that step is and what your results are. So we have some amazing episodes coming up for you. I do a solo episode every other week, and we have a new episode every Monday coming out to you. So thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. I'm going to invite you to subscribe and leave a review and share the podcast with others. Connect with me over at mybusinesscoach.com. You'll find all of my social links there. And thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Angela Micheli, and I cannot wait to talk to you on the next episode of the Good Enough Mompreneur Podcast.